do it.
Okay.
Now good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Call the Council Public Safety Committee meeting to order. We have with us today from County Council, we have President Chris Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, President Pro Tem Penrose Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, and Councilwoman Diller. My legislative aide, Karen Barlow, will be taking the minutes and recordings and always does a great job for us. What's your pleasure with the minutes from the previous meeting? Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. We have with us this afternoon a presentation by our paramedics and our advanced life support. And so what I'm going to do, of course, Chief Tan and several of his staff are here, but I'm going to call on Chief Tan with the permission of Director Bryant, okay? With Chief Tan to introduce who will actually be making the presentation on the upcoming Paramedic Training Academy. So with that, Director, Chief.
Yep. Larry Tan, Chief of Emergency Medical Services. We were asked to provide an update on the status of the next Paramedic Academy class. We've been working diligently over the past 6 to 8 months to go through a selection process, and we're just about on the eve of initiating the orientation for the next Paramedic Academy. So to provide that briefing, I've asked Assistant Chief Mark Alston, who's our commander of the Administration and Special Operations, to do that.
Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon, sir.
Mark Alston, Assistant Chief of EMS Division. And what I've done is I've given you a basic overview, some bullet lists right here, of where we stand with our upcoming paramedic class, and give you an overview of how we got to this. We again had a tremendous amount of applicants for the positions. We had nearly 600, and this is compared to our last time. I think we had about 653. So we're doing a good job with getting with a tremendous amount of applicants for the positions. The EMS division has had 17 vacant positions, and of those 17, we now have 15 official offers of employment out there. There are two tentative offers that are still pending the normal medical and psychological testing that the HR arranges. I must say too that when we look at the EMS division, there's one dedicated recruitment coordinator, which is Lieutenant Chris Johnson right here, who takes care of our field training operations, the recruitment of ready medics, so to speak, and the class applicants. We have one other part-time person. So that for nearly 600 people is a tremendous undertaking, as well as getting the word out. But what we do have is we have a number of paramedics that, in addition to their duties, make themselves available as assistant recruiters. We've had the cooperation through the process not only with HR, but with the police division, helping us do our criminal background checks, our fingerprinting, providing some of their personnel for the fitness testing days. That was two different weekends. Also, the communications division helped out with that, as well as emergency management and HR personnel. So it's definitely a collaborative effort and very successful. And this is the second class that we have done like this. Under the recruitment outreach, this is just a very, very brief overview. I have, if anybody cares to get exact details, they can always pull me aside. I've got them with me. But the fire service, they got the word out. We were down there at their convention, a variety of different community events in within the city of Wilmington and throughout the county, Department of Labor throughout the state, NCCTV, as well as Channel 22. We had information sessions at the public safety building that were about an hour and a half in length, and we had a total of almost 400 people attend those. So they got very, very detailed information on how to be successful in the process. We were at Christiana Mall, and with the help of members of council, we were at Concord Mall as well. And we did this all without, you know, having to lay out money, which was a big deal too. Rodney Square, again, was another successful undertaking to get out there in front of people. And I know Councilman Holtz was there last year and saw some of that. We were out at BSU and UAD, Wesley, Wilmington University, and Dell Tech for recruitment and also for career days that they organized. Channel 6 did another interview with us, and they did that in the past. That was a tremendous help, in addition to social media, the internet, different postings that we had out there. And many of our medics who live in the surrounding states got posters out to fire service, to schools, to really put ourselves in front of a lot of different people that we haven't put ourselves in front of before. We basically build upon the success that we had during the last recruitment time. So when it's all over with, we have our selected candidates. And in that selection, it's representative of 35% military veterans, 58% overall protected class representation, 24% minority, and rather pretty much evenly broken up in gender between male and female, 53 and 47%. The upcoming dates that we will start training, they will start training, or they'll start employment on Monday, March 14th. Most of those first 2 weeks of orientation and non-academic classes that are required, such as ethics, harassment, different training like that, will occur in those first 2 weeks. And we're using the Brandywine Town Center, community center up there. We have a tremendous amount of activity at the public safety building, and this was a way to kind of stabilize where we would be. So with the exception of 2 days, which would be the St. Patrick's Day, the 17th and the 21st, we will be at headquarters, and council, you know, will invite you, certainly we'll put the schedule up there, and be more than happy to have you stop by and meet our medic candidates. So they will begin on the 14th, and that will continue through until the 28th. The 28th is the first day of academics of school. That is, again, a good fellowship EMS institute. It's an 11-month program. They earn 59 credits, 5 credits through Westchester University. It is an undertaking that, given the fact that we tried it the first time and it worked so well, it was really amazing that on the first time we were so successful. But there were areas of improvement, and we saw that, and we got feedback from the candidates, we got feedback from the school, and we're very happy to say that we're well organized, because we have Lieutenant Chris Johnson, who I introduced a minute ago, will be overseeing the school, commanding the school. Sergeant Autumn Tuxford, who I think you may be familiar with, was involved in the last class. Unfortunately, she had a death in family, is not able to be here today. She'll be supervising the class. And you may not know Corporal Elena Karakas. And Corporal Karakas is an Air Force veteran. She's on her honor guard. She's on her state protocol representation for clinical protocols in Dover. And she is also a field training officer. She has a wide variety of background, and her performance is stellar. So we have three extremely strong people that are going to be guiding our new paramedic applicants forward. So that's basically the overview, but I just want to thank everyone here around the table that makes this possible, because we are now, that will put us fully staffed at 124 authorized positions, and we're grateful for that. And I know the medics on the street are really grateful for that.
Thank you, Chief. I guess when you look at the diversity and the demographics and everything, and you know, it's very apparent that your last initiative, as well as this initiative, I think under, you know, your leadership, starting with the director, Director Bryant, Chief Tan, and your staff in command, I think that you've taken great strides to reach out in the community, to have folks become more familiar with the opportunities being offered in the Advanced Life Support Program. And, you know, we can't do enough for our military veterans. You know, they've served our country, protected our country. And so, you know, it's really reassuring to see that 35% are military veterans and everything. One question I'd have before we go into other questions would be, or any comment, would be that I understand you'll be up to full staffing, but from an attrition rate, do you have any projection as to taking a look at current folks that can retire and maybe some military leave, different things that are there, injury on the job, things like that? You know, we would love to see full staffing, but do you have some projections as far as the next year or so as far as attrition?
Well, our projection for the last time around was that we asked to overfill by 7 positions. We based upon what our past attrition rate had been and what our projected retirement could be, because certainly there are people that could retire that may not. We projected 7. When we were finished school this last class, we were exactly at 7. So either we're really good or we were really good. But I would say there was a certain amount of science behind it too. So then we've gone 1 year since then, and we were at 15 vacancies. So it seems that number 7 is generally a relatively reliable projection of per year. Having said that, you see that we have 17 vacancies because there were 2 people. One resigned and went back to an area where they lived, and another one retired. They'll be recognized tonight at council. So we would like to pursue that within the ability of budget to do that. Clearly, whether monies are available or not, clearly we will be 7 people down in the next year. And looking at who is available to go, it could go as high as 10. So I can't say that everybody will retire within that period of time.
You've been nominated.
I of course was talking about Mike too. But,
yeah, that's what I've been doing too.
So to answer your question, sir, we will have to look at dollars and cents, and I know that they are looking for cuts, and we're trying to, you know, operationally we have to be sound right now. But certainly that is an absolute that we'll be down 7 to 10 positions in the next year.
Well, and I think that with that being said, and, you know, this council has been a staunch supporter of our various divisions in public safety and trying to maintain staffing levels. And so, you know, projections that you can go on that actually have record behind it and consistency and everything. I guess what I look at is that it took a long time to get where we are today with numbers. And it would seem that we don't want to digress and go back to the days where we're trying to play catch up, because the demands that have been placed upon our advanced life support services throughout this county, includes the city of Wilmington, you know, are kind of like unprecedented. And, you know, with what goes on around us in law enforcement, with the heroin epidemic, with violent crime, who would have ever thought we'd have seen our advanced life support and ballistic vests?
Well, I couldn't agree more. And again, yeah, we thank you, because if we look at this class of 17 in the last, we're talking about 32 new people injected with a broad cultural diversity backgrounds. If you attended the graduation or if you saw the video of it, you know what the backgrounds were so incredibly impressive, and this class is not any different than that. When we have 124 people, and you figure each shift's roughly 20 people, putting 32 people now of that caliber into our workforce, and part of their training is fitness training. We're trying to work on equipment redesign right now, and we're also trying to work on reducing injuries, because lifting injuries are the most common loss of hours that we have right now, and that still hasn't changed. So we're in the midst of having a functional job analysis done. We have a work group of paramedics that are working on redesign of equipment, and we have the physical preparation of these last two present paramedic class that's about to begin in the last one, so we're definitely going in the right direction. We're building something very important.
Thank you, Chief. Councilman Cartier, and then Councilman Weiner. You're okay? Okay. Councilman Weiner, and then President Pro Tem Hollins.
Would you please explain our protection class? I thought maybe it was Phil and Lori, but Matt doesn't know that.
And my answer is going to be it's going to be a female minority, but I'm going to have to I'll have to go back to that number. Just looking at it, I'm not a good visual mathematician, but it should be unless what they did is they counted female twice on the out of the protected active class. I'm just looking at it, and that might be what it is. Yeah. In other words, they counted female and all and. So. Thank you.
President Pro Tem Hollins.
I was just giving a signal.
Okay. Member of Council.
I was just giving a signal.
You were giving a signal.
We were signaling.
Signal. Any comment, questions on the part of Council for the presentation? Councilman Tack.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, a few comments and commend you all. I mean, when you're going into this, the, 650 applicants, it shows that whatever you're doing is going to be, you're going to be giving that many people a lot. So, you've been good working at it. I see your outreach, you kind of outlined in here. I know we promote it all the time when we go out, or if there's openings, we put in our newsletters and stuff too. So, there's something that part of the view on, of our department. So again, congratulations on that many applicants, and hopefully as you're windowing down, we're able to get these classes filled with the time saving. I've always been very supportive of the public safety.
Well, thank you, sir. I mean, again, we couldn't be doing this without your support. It's been tremendous, and I think as Councilman Bell said at the beginning, Director Bryant has set a tune during this last 2.5 years. I can tell it's been a tremendous cultural change. Obviously, the silos have been knocked down. We've worked together every step of the way right here. So we overcome the fact that we may not have as many full-time dedicated people to it, but in a whole, we have enough.
Any other comments, concerns, questions? Hearing none, Chief, want to thank you very much, Director, Chief Dan, and other staff members. Okay, anything under other? Councilman Smart.
I'm not sure if this is still relevant under the Public Safety Committee, but we always discussed it here. And I'm just going to speak to my experience. Since Newcastle County was tasked with the Gulf Patrol previously, I had four occasions. That's all, over that time, four occasions to take dogs to get the rabies shots at clinics that were set up. Each time I took them, there was a table for the registration. They got the shot. Then there was a table to get the license. That's what we as a county were promoting because we were footing the bill. Somewhat disenfranchised, and I made this known yesterday to the state, that now the state has been tasked with it. Created a whole new department, all new equipment, hired new people and everything else. I got a phone call from someone who went to one of those clinics this past weekend. No license availability, no referral to where to get one, so they got the rabies vaccination, which this was different as well because, and I did check to find out, surprisingly to me, you're not required to have a rabies tag on your dog, which I was supposed to work, but you're not, just the paperwork, because this entity doesn't even provide tags. You couldn't even buy one from them. But, so now that the state's got it, but the county tax coffers are still footing the bill, it's like no one's partnering to get that license, which is supposed to offset what the counties have to pay for the program. So it's somewhat disappointing to me that the state took it in order to consolidate the program, and then they're not working, as far as I can see, to bring in the revenue that they should be bringing in. So I just want to share that. But the county is still selling the licenses for a while, for the rest of this month. But, you know, why that could happen when the county was doing it, but it's not happening now, unless it may be happening other way. I'm just saying, four times I went, it was always that way. This one time I got a call from someone who had gone through the other process when the county had it and could not get the license.
Councilman Tackett.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just add a little comment quickly. Councilman Smiley, I was contacted by a constituent who said the dog control 2 weeks ago was in Glasgow Park walking around the trails, and anybody that had a dog, they were stopping them and asking them, did they have a license? And then they went over to the bar park and went in there and was asking the people, did they have a license? I've not reached out yet because I only got this over the weekend to do dog control, but you're not required to have the license on you, so I don't know if they were just trying to do an education or not. But I've never heard of them being in our parks before, and now the state has it. I guess they're in our parks asking for the license.
I thought they were required to display the license. Maybe I'm wrong on that too, but the rabies tag, you just had to have the paperwork. So I go to Glasgow Park, I take my dog to Glasgow Park, it bites someone, animal control call, okay, yeah. I'll be back. I just got to go to North Wilmington to get my paper. Now, I know from the previous rabies tags, you could call the number on the rabies tag, give them the numbers, and they had the ownership information and everything. The lady I talked to at the state said, there's no sense in having a rabies tag. We recommend people not have it because you could lose it two blocks away and someone pick it up and put it on their dog. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I always had a Shih Tzu, so if they found it on a Rottweiler, you know, I don't know how that would have worked out. I think they'd have figured it out some way. But I just think they should be trying, just because it's not in the state budget, they should still be trying to make the most of what one revenue stream that there is, and it should be the rabies shot. And I know we've talked, and we continue to push the state to do something to make it consolidated, where you get the rabies shot, you have to get the license at that time. I noticed it, but like I said, I don't want to take everybody's time, but I just wanted to share that out there, because it's so much with everything we went through. I mean, it's bad enough that the first thing they did was do away with the seniors' exemption.
Go ahead.
The only thing I had, too, that I thought was pretty amazing was, in order to get, well, you can get a rabies shot, you can just go in and get your rabies shot, example, show proof of the previous rabies shot in order to get a 1 year or 3 year. But in order to get your license, you have to show that you have proof of the rabies shot. But in order to get the rabies shot, you don't have to show proof you have a license.
They need to be interconnected in order to push that.
Okay.
But like I said, you don't have to worry about it. They're just going to send each county a bill.
In light of the fact that, you know, this has been brought up, and rightfully so, and it goes even further, like you said, with the seniors and everything, you know, would it, at the pleasure of this council, to put this particular item on our next agenda and not only further discuss, but try to get some folks that can...
Yeah, because I would just say we're supposed to get quarterly reports, so I think we're about due.
Okay.
About due anyway.
Okay. We will add it to the agenda. Councilman Weiner?
Can we have it downstairs with a room for dogs?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just like to add a question that you might add when you're sending that invitation, and ask if they're still allowing electronic registration. We have a vendor that's been that. And sort of by asking the question, you might be prompting them
we'll do. Anything other Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
This is pretty much on the same subject. So if we're going to do a presentation, we want Petty or whatever her name is from the state to come and do the presentation, not Marlene, because every time she comes, even though she's our liaison, she always has to go back and ask the question to the state people. So I would rather than be the first person
that would counsel. If I may, you know, along with, you know, the licensing, permitting, whatever we're going to do, let's include where they stand fiscally at this point. they brought in. All we had to transfer was that, and they didn't take it.
All right, so that will be reflected on our as an agenda item, and we will reach out and have the state here to discuss the items that have been brought forward. Very good. Okay, anything else under other? Hearing none under public comment?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion made and seconded adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Meeting's adjourned.